Welcome to Nightlights. This is David Brent Johnson, and for the next hour, we'll be listening to music from two unusual early 1960s jazz albums, records with a theme of recovery from addiction. It's Resolution, Jazz from Rehab, coming up on this edition of Nightlights.
Thank you.
pianist Elmo Hope performing his composition Three Silver Quarters from the 1963 LP Sounds from Rikers Island, accompanied by Ronnie Boykins on bass and Philly Joe Jones on drums. Resolution, Jazz from Rehab, is the theme of this edition of Nightlights, featuring music from Joe Pass, Elmo Hope, Charlie Parker, and James Moody, all of it invoking attempts to recover from substance abuse. Alcohol, a long-running issue for some in the jazz world, was the drug of choice for many musicians in the Prohibition 1920s era, and marijuana became common in the 1930s, documented in a number of so-called reefer and viper songs. But these problems were relatively mild compared to the impact of heroin in the 1940s, which had just devastated the bebop world, with many fine musicians dying in their 20s from use of the drug, while others struggled with their addiction to it for years and sometimes decades, hindering their ability to play or record in some cases, or simply impeding their ability to be out in the world at all. Charlie Parker was an early avatar of hip drug use. As the saying went, if you want to play like Bird, you got to be like Bird. Parker himself discouraged such behavior. He was famously quoted as saying that he played much better when he was off drugs than he did when he was on them. But he battled his addictions till the end of his life in 1955 at the age of 34. Billie Holiday was another artist who made headlines for her arrest and drug problems in the late 1940s and 1950s. There were few places for addicted musicians to turn back then. Narcotics Anonymous was not founded until the 1950s, and often these musicians ended up in jail. The list of talented artists who lost significant parts of their career to prison time includes Dexter Gordon, Gene Ammons, Art Pepper, and Frank Morgan, among others. We'll start off the program with a composition of Dizzy Gillespie compatriot James Moody, who in 1958 spent some time in an institution in New Jersey called Overbrook, attempting to overcome his addiction to alcohol. Upon leaving the institution, Moody traveled to Chicago and recorded an album for the Argo label. Here's the title track, Last Train from Overbrook, on Nightlights.
Thank you.
Saxophonist James Moody performing the title track from his 1958 Argo LP, Last Train from Overbrook, the title referring to the institution where Moody combated his alcoholism. One of the records we're featuring on this program came out of an early rehabilitation facility started by an alcoholic who'd spent some time in Alcoholics Anonymous groups and then went on to found his own recovery organization. The man's name was Chuck Diedrich, and the facility was called Synanon, started by Diedrich in 1958. At the time of this 1961 Joe Pass LP we're about to hear, Synanon was located in an old red brick armory in Santa Monica, California. Charlie Hayden was one of the musicians who spoke highly of Synanon. He spent some time there in the early 1960s and attributed his successful recovery to the institution. Art Pepper stayed there from 1968 to 1971 and wrote quite a lot about it in his autobiography, Straight Life. Guitarist Joe Pass, who was the nominal leader of the session we're about to hear and who'd been born in 1929, had started playing professionally in his teens, but he spent the 1950s in and out of rehab facilities and jail. He and all of the other musicians at the session were, at the time, residents of the Synanon program. This was Pass's first leader date, and he'd go on to a long and very successful career. Joe Pass doing CED on Nightlights.
Thank you.
guitarist Joe Pass performing Stay Loose, written by pianist Arnold Ross, whose career dated all the way back to playing with Glenn Miller's military band in the 1940s and then with Harry James. With them, we heard Dave Allen on trumpet, Greg Dykes on baritone horn, Ronald Clark on bass, Bill Crawford on drums, and Candy Latson on bongos. And the same group also performed Pass's composition C.E.D. from the Pacific Jazz LP Sounds of Synanon. John Tynan, a downbeat writer, did the liner notes for this 1961 album. He had actually written about Synanon earlier that year for Downbeat, which had resulted in a lot of publicity for the institution. The Los Angeles Musicians Union staged a benefit there that April, and the California State Legislature had recognized it as a legal place for the rehabilitation of drug addicts. Both Time and Life magazine had also done articles on the facility, so it was doing quite well in the early 1960s. They used psychological games in which residents confronted one another and tried to break through defenses in an attempt to resolve the addicts' problems and bring out their true feelings. It was the beginning of a recovery culture that's now quite prevalent in American society, but it was still unusual in 1961, and it really was a sort of turning point in how drug addicts were seen by the wider culture. Here's more music from Sounds of Synanon, Joe Pass doing Hang Tough on Nightlights.
We'll be right back.
Guitarist Joe Pass doing pianist Arnold Ross's composition Last Call for Coffee, accompanied by Ross on piano, Dave Allen on trumpet, Greg Dykes on baritone horn, Ronald Clark on bass, Bill Crawford on drums, and Candy Latson on bongos. We heard the same group doing Pass's composition Hang Tough from the 1961 Pacific Jazz LP Sounds of Synanon. Synanon remained fairly successful in rehabilitating people throughout the 1960s and early 1970s. It had always exerted a lot of control over its residents, but in the mid-1970s, it and its leader, Chuck Diedrich, began to employ more extreme measures. The organization had previously preached nonviolence, but now they formed an organization called the Imperial Marines, armed practitioners of martial arts, and Diedrich also began to advocate partner switching and other rules that caused some chaos within the institution. In October 1977, an attorney who just won a case against Synanon for $300,000 was bitten by a 4.5-foot-long diamondback rattlesnake found in his mailbox. Two members of Synanon, including Stan Kenton's son Lance, were booked as part of the subsequent investigation, and Diedrich himself was eventually implicated and forced to resign as Synanon's director as part of a plea bargain. In 1991, Synanon lost its tax-exempt status and basically dissolved. Diedrich died in 1997. The Joe Pass album, Sounds of Synanon, remains as a musical document of the organization's early and positive era. We'll hear more jazz with the thematic concept of recovery in just a few moments. Production support comes from the Laughing Planet Cafe and Soma Coffee House, offering San Francisco-style burritos, coffee drinks, fresh juices, and 100% fruit smoothies, and including locally grown and organic ingredients on the corner of Kirkwood and Grant in Bloomington, Indiana. This is David Brent Johnson, and you're listening to Resolution, Jazz from Rehab on Nightlights. Resolution, Jazz from Rehab is the title of this Nightlights program. There were several very good jazz bands that formed in jails and rehabilitation centers in mid-20th century America. The liner notes to saxophonist Frank Morgan's second contemporary album, released in the 1980s, state that in the early 60s he was a member of the all-star San Quentin band that also included alto saxophonist Art Pepper and trumpeter Dupree Bolton. Known as the Warden's Band, they were allowed to practice every day, and on Saturday nights, 1,000 guests from the outside world would come to the maximum security institution to see them, wearing tuxedos, perform in concert. Art Pepper also makes reference in his autobiography, Straight Life, to playing at Synanon with Frank Rehak, a trombonist who worked with Miles Davis. And an article by Rabbi Joseph R. Rosenblum in the 1959 issue of Jazz Review, entitled Jazz at Narco, describes a stellar band of jazz musicians at the United States Public Health Service Hospital in Lexington, Kentucky, a facility through which artists such as saxophonist Sonny Rollins and composer, arranger, and pianist Tad Dameron passed. Though Rosenblum did not identify the musicians in his article, one of them was almost certainly Dameron. No recordings of that band or of Art Pepper's San Quentin band have surfaced, and Pepper says in his autobiography that the tapes he made at Synanon were later destroyed after Synanon founder Chuck Diedrich decided that jazz was an evil music. We're going to hear music now from an album led by pianist Elmo Hope called Sounds from Rikers Island, a reference to the New York City jail where those who were arrested for drug-related activities in the 1950s or 1960s often ended up. Jazz writer Nat Hentoff's liner notes state that the session was a result of a conversation between vibraphonist Walt Dickerson and Sid Frey, and that Dickerson helped assemble the players for the date, some of them artists who'd struggled with drug addiction themselves. The conversation Dickerson and Frey had concerned musicians who had problems, to use the heiress euphemism. We'll hear two tracks from the LP now, starting off with Hope's composition, Ecstasy on Nightlights.
Thank you.
pianist Elmo Hope performing A Night in Tunisia and his composition Ecstasy, backed by Lawrence Jackson on trumpet, Freddie Douglass on alto and soprano sax, John Gilmore on tenor sax, Ronnie Boykins on bass, and Philly Joe Jones on drums from the 1963 LP Sounds from Rikers Island, a place where Elmo Hope and John Gilmore supposedly played a gig sometime in the mid-1960s. In the liner notes to the Rikers Island album, jazz writer Nat Hentoff states, addiction is much less prevalent in jazz than it was during the 1940s, but it does still exist, and addiction outside of jazz continues to exist. Something vital is wrong with the way the society treats addicts, and for that matter, with the way it handles most of those who have broken its laws. Vibraphonist Walt Dickerson adds that, I felt that the public should be made more aware of the existence of this kind of problem, and more specifically, the public should be aware of the kinds of pressures in jazz, including economics, which make it so difficult for some musicians to get back inside society. Dickerson adds that some program or programs should be set up so that musicians with proven ability can work with a minimum of economic pressure. At least some part of the music business can be reorganized and revitalized so that a man with something to say musically can have a chance to perform without that kind of persistent scuffling which drains his spirit. Here's more music from the album that was a result of Dickerson's conversation with Sid Frey and his assemblage of these musicians, Trippin' on Nightlights. Pianist Elmo Hope performing his composition Monique with John Gilmore on tenor sax, Ronnie Boykins on bass, and Philly Joe Jones on drums. Before that, the same group doing Hope's composition Trippin', adding Lawrence Jackson on trumpet and Freddie Douglas on alto sax from the 1963 LP Sounds from Rikers Island. We'll conclude with music from Charlie Parker and Nat Hentoff's closing paragraph in the liner notes for Sounds from Rikers Island about the reason for the album, where Hentoff states, "Its intent is to call attention to the fact that men's lives need not be wasted, and many more can be rescued if, for one thing, this country were to start treating the addict as a patient and not automatically as a criminal." Here's Charlie Parker with one of the very first Jazz from Rehab tunes, although it was Parker's producer, Ross Russell, who named it. Parker originally wanted to call it Past Due. Parker had emerged from a long stay at California's Camarillo State Hospital not long before making this recording. Charlie Parker and Relaxin' at Camarillo on Nightlights. Thanks for tuning into this edition of Nightlights. You can hear previous Nightlights programs and view playlists on our website at nightlights.indiana.edu. Production support comes from the Laughing Planet Cafe and Soma Coffee House, offering San Francisco-style burritos, coffee drinks, fresh juices, and 100% fruit smoothies, and including locally grown and organic ingredients on the corner of Kirkwood and Grant in Bloomington, Indiana. Nightlights is engineered by Michael Paskesh and produced in the studios at WFIU at Indiana University. This is David Brent Johnson, wishing you good listening for the week ahead.